I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
This is a very sensitive subject.
Hey folks, Patrick here, and you're about to hear one of our Patreon Backer Perk episodes with just John and I chatting about stuff. Why? Well, we kind of wanted you to hear what you've been missing out on, you know, if you're not backing us on Patreon. And maybe I'm short an episode or two, maybe. But mostly, totally, completely promise you, we really wanted you to hear what you've been missing out on. Now, if you like this episode, and you like what you hear, you could consider becoming one of our, you know, patrons by visiting patreon.com/functionalnerds. As John likes to say, you can pledge whatever you like, it doesn't matter. But as I like to say, you should totally pledge $5 a month. Not that I'll judge you if you don't. Anyway, this is going to be episode, I'm going to call it 266P for Patreon. Take it away, me! My name is Patrick Hester, and his name is John Anilio, and you're listening to the second Patreon-only episode of The Functional Nerds.
That is correct. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Sorry we did not have one the last batch of recordings, but if you've been listening to the show, then you know why that is the case. And a lot of this episode is going to be us apologizing. That's going to be the theme of this episode. But thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening to this, you are someone who is one of our Patreon backers, and we are very appreciative of you doing that. And thank you so much. And this is a little episode for you guys. So first off, before we get into anything, I guess this will probably go live at about the same time the next episode would, where
a little bit after, probably.
Okay. So hopefully you've had a chance to listen to the show that's in the regular feed, where Patrick explains why he wasn't here for three episodes. And we don't want to get into that now because it's kind of emotional and it's kind of heavy, and just go and listen to that over there. But we did want to, you know, we launched the Patreon and we're all excited about it. And there are several levels where there's different perks and things. And one of the reasons being because Patrick had some personal things to deal with, and he's the tech guy. So we weren't able to make some of the, particularly the live stream.
Well, there's a couple things there, John. So, mm-hmm. So you're right. The main thing is that I wasn't able to be there, you know, to figure it out. The second thing is Google changed everything.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't even realizing this because I was at the hospital at the time. But when you and I agreed that you should just go ahead and record, I was thinking that everything still looked the way it did when we did it in October, November, whenever we did October. So they have changed the entire interface. They've changed how things work. So unfortunately, you kind of got thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, what, you know, because I had intentions of trying to, well, because this happened very, there wasn't really much time because.
When you were texting me, you were like, this isn't working, why isn't it, why, how do we do this?
Yeah, so not to rehash Patrick's troubles, but you know, I saw him kind of tweeting about it and Facebooking about what he was going through, and I wanted to give him space. I didn't want to be up his butt about like, hey man, the podcast is Saturday, hey man. So I tried to just like kind of leave him alone because I knew he was dealing with all of that stuff. And then it got to be about Thursday, and I was like, oof, okay, well, it looks like this is not going to be resolved by Saturday, and I know he's going through a lot. So
yeah, that was the first day Mom was home from the hospital.
Yeah, so on Thursday, I contacted Patrick and suggested rescheduling. Patrick did not want to reschedule, and I think I might have even put it in the email. I was like, do I want to try to do it by myself or reschedule? And I was leaning towards rescheduling because I'm like, but that's going to make me have to learn things and work.
But I thought it was unfair to all the people because it's such a pain to schedule stuff.
So. Absolutely. Well, and it's, yeah, because we had already had those guests lined up. And
I actually had to cancel an SF Signal recording.
Yeah.
Because of that. So
we already had that. And plus,
I was already feeling the guilt.
Yeah, and plus because of the Patreon people, it's like it was pretty bad timing because it's like, hey man, we're gonna give you all this extra stuff because you're backing us. It's like, oh, now we won't even do a show for a few weeks because we went ahead and we did it, and
then it turned out great. You and Christy had a good chemistry.
Thanks. I was really pleased with the way it came out, but it was a little learning curve for me because I had to learn how to do the stuff with the software that we use.
Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. And well, I never recorded an interview because when I did my own podcast, it was just me. Yeah. Or I recorded some things where I was in the same room with people on, but I never did it over Google Hangout or Skype or anything where I was the one doing the recording. So it was a bit of a learning curve and the software was a little buggy. I bought the same software that Patrick uses, but I have the most recent operating system on Mac, and there's this one feature that was the sort of the selling point of the software, which is like record Mac audio, which basically means like you hit this button and any sound that your computer is making, it'll record, which is kind of the whole point of doing it. And my version or my software, my operating system, it's like they don't support that anymore.
And it's
a little company, and I don't know if they're basically just like, yeah, these are our products and you buy them and we're not dealing with it anymore. And so I had to figure out how to do it. And I did, but it again, this was Thursday. We were recording on Saturday. So basically all of Thursday and Friday, I was figuring out how to do this. And once again, I want to thank Christy Cherish, who was supposed to be interviewed as a guest, but she had been on the show before. And I know she does stuff for Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. So I'm like, why don't I get Christy to see if she can do that? Because she's done this before.
It was almost like a throwback to when we used to have someone on for several episodes.
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah. When that was our thing for a little while. And she was great. And so we were very happy to have that. And it ended up working out fine. But really, it was all I could do to just do a normal episode or as close to normal episode as I could. Because I had thoughts of trying to get the live stream going. And I looked into it for about 2 minutes. And I'm like, there's no way. Because I was so paranoid of not recording it correctly.
Right.
Because every guest that we had, we batch record, we did 3 episodes. And so we'd start and I'd be like, all right, we'll just talk a little bit and I'm going to record you and make sure it's actually coming out. And then I would go and check and make sure it came out. And so I'm like, all right, fingers crossed. Hope this works. Hope we don't talk for 45 minutes and then have it not work. So, you know, once I got going with it, it was fine. And it wasn't really that hard. And I'm glad I know how to, I grew through this experience.
So without going back into the detail, if you want to know what happened with me, go listen to the Functional Nerds. It's episode, let me check my name, 256. So episode 256, I talk about what happened and why I wasn't there. In the context of this Patreon-only episode, where we want to kind of expand on that a little bit, is that stuff that's kind of going on and is still going on with me is also why we haven't been able to make any progress on some other stuff. I've written a couple of blog posts. John's written a couple of blog posts, so we've done a little bit of that. But things like redoing the website hasn't happened. Just basically because I haven't had the time to go out there. John and I have looked at a couple different things that we want to do to redo the website, but I just haven't had the time or the bandwidth to make those things happen. So there are some things that we're still trying to work the bugs out of, like the Google Hangouts and live streaming. You know, we were able to do it that first time, but for example, we couldn't do the Q&A. Then Google changed everything, and John set up the live streaming for today. And to be honest with you, I don't have any clue whether or not it actually worked.
Yeah.
So the on-air stuff didn't happen the way it did when I did it a couple of months ago. So I have absolutely no idea what happened or if it worked. So if people were watching, woohoo. If you weren't, I apologize. I just need to get apparently some time with the new Google Plus and the new way the Hangouts work to see if I can still do the on-air streaming. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're kind of backed up on. We're kind of backed up on the blog posts. We've done a couple. We've committed to doing more, so we are going to be doing more. John is planning on writing this whole series on prog rock that he doesn't even know about yet. But we have gotten a little organized in that we have Trello where we can throw out ideas and we can work back and forth on some stuff and figure some stuff out. That's also where I put up links to some themes and different things that, so John and I could discuss what we want the website to look like. So we are making progress. It's just going a little bit slower due to real life crap.
Yeah, and we just had to prioritize over the past month just to get the show out normally.
Life trumps guild.
Yeah, exactly. And, to me, the priority is like, well, let's just get the regular show out because we certainly, it's something we always say, but I think it's really true. That's our thing, is our consistency. There's a lot of genre podcasts out there. And, I think we're amongst the most consistent. I think a lot of those shows are great, but I think a lot of times they go dark for a while and you won't see anything from them for a month or two. And we could have easily done that this time around. We could have easily just been like, you know what, Patrick's gone through a lot. Let's take a couple weeks off, the both of us were like, absolutely not. There's no way we're doing that. So I'm sorry that we weren't able to do our extra stuff, but I am happy that we were able to at least get a show out there every week and hopefully good ones.
But there are some other things that we've done for the patrons. So for example, right now in the video, if you're watching this, John is wearing a kilt and dancing on a table.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. MB Partlow, one of our folks is demanding that.
So MB, I'm hoping you're enjoying that right now. John has worked really hard actually on becoming more physically fit. He's been on this diet for about a year now, John.
Oh, it's like a year and a half.
Year and a half. And how you shed some weight.
I have. Yeah, I'm 30 pounds less than I was when I was 30
pounds less. He's cut. I like the way your arms are looking now. And you've got the six-pack abs. So it's really cool. And I mean, that really makes the live streaming worth it.
Well, if my sexuality has to be out there. I can't even finish that statement.
I've been told that some of my jokes are dad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Betsy Dornbush was at Mile High Con and she had her son, and I was doing a lot of my stupid jokes with him, and I thought he was going to pee himself. He was laughing so hard. So apparently my dad jokes are dad jokes.
Yes.
I didn't realize they were dad jokes. But I did the thing about working out. I said, I really wanted to work out and lose weight and get six-pack abs. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. And I said, yeah, I overdid it, though, and I got a keg. I thought he was going to spit out his soda that he was drinking. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really have a big plan for this episode. One of the things that came up.
Do
briefly,
we want to do picks?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, sure. Do you want to do them?
I say we do picks. And then we get into other stuff.
All right, so, you do your pick first.
Picks. Week.
Picks of the week.
My pick this week, John, you may like this. It's been making the Facebook rounds.
Mm-hmm.
The Disturbed cover of Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
I've yet to hear it, but I have seen it posted about a lot.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. You should go check it out.
They have done quite a few really cool covers over the years.
Mm.
And I haven't heard Sound of Silence yet, but they do a really good version of Land of Confusion by Genesis. Uh-huh. They do a good version of, I think, Shout by Tears for Fears.
Really? I haven't heard that one. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons
why... Do they let it all out?
They absolutely.
Are these the things we can live without? Come on.
I remember as a kid...
I'm talking to you.
When that song came out as a kid, I remember being in the playground by my house. And one, like an older kid was like just farting around on the swings, and he was singing that song, but he was doing a you know, a Weird Al version of that. And instead of like shout, he was yelling shit, and he was like saying shit, like poop it all out. You know, these, I haven't thought about that in years and years and years. But anyway,
I used to try to do an impersonation of that guy singing that song. Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Because he has that weird
thing
going on with his voice. That was a horrible impersonation, but anyway.
That's okay. But I think Disturbed ends up getting covered so well is because I can't think of the guy. I think it's David Dramian. I can't think of what the guy's name is, who's the lead singer in Disturbed. But he's got a very unique voice, a very unique kind of metal voice. And you couple that with sort of the heaviness of it. If you take these kind of more pop songs or folk songs or whatever, and you do them in that way, it's like instantly like a different thing.
Well, there's and that's what they did. And it's very powerful. The way they did it. There's also, there's the Christmas song, the Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Mm-hmm. There's another band who did a cover of that, and they did it in a minor key.
I heard about
and
that.
And that completely, it's like creepy stalker Christmas song now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip.
That's really cool. That reminds me, there was sort of the reverse of that is, there's a Billy Joel song, that the verse is in a minor key, and it was on Billy Joel's, when VH1 was doing that Storyteller series where they would like to tell the stories behind their songs, and Billy Joel was saying that I want to say it's Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, but I feel like that's not it's the Brenda and Eddie part, you know. Maybe that's not a minor, but anyway, he was talking about how he switched it because he goes, when he was in a major key, it sounded like this, Brenda and Eddie. And he's like, it didn't really work, so I changed it. It sounds a lot better to edit. It's really funny.
I was thinking Randy Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Newman is probably the most famous songwriter that nobody has ever really heard of or really pay attention to. They know the Toy Story song, right? You got a friend in me. But he wrote some of the most popular songs in the 60s and 70s and 80s that other people recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when they recorded these songs, they would change a key or change a tempo. It would become a hit song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he did Mama Told Me Not to Come.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the different keys, and I know we're going far afield here, but the part, you know, Mama Told Me Not to Come, that Three Dog Night did, he did it, Mama Told Me Not to Come. You know, it's very do-do-do-do. He does this in this mellow kind of voice. But when they amped it up and did Mama Told Me Not to Come, it becomes this huge hit song.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to him a lot. So it is interesting. You'd make one little change, one little tweak, and maybe it's not even little really when you think of it from a composer standpoint. But you tweak something just a little bit, and suddenly it's this different song, and it becomes a huge hit.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for, you know, being a good or a great songwriter does not necessarily mean you're a great singer and a great performer. And Randy Newman has got a unique thing that he does, but you know, his voice is kind of a acquired taste and all that. But it's there's something to be said for focusing on what you do well, because not every great singer is a great songwriter. Hardly, you know. I think this is why we hold the Beatles in such high regard, and in a lot of ways, I think the Beatles screwed things up because they were great at both.
Like, yeah, and they applied piano chords to guitars, which people hadn't really done.
Yeah, so they had a much more sophisticated songwriting palette than what sort of existed at the time. They sort of were more of a, almost like a Broadway kind of, you know, in terms of like the harmonic structures of their songs.
Yeah.
But the Beatles were great songwriters, and they were great singers and great players. And so bands after them were expected to be the same, and they weren't. You know, they were maybe good performers, but not great writers, or vice versa. So it is sort of an interesting way to look at it.
I'm blanking on the name of the very popular geeky songwriter who did the cover version of was it Baby Got Back?
Yeah, Jonathan Coulton.
Jonathan
yeah.
Coulton, right? There's another example of someone doing a completely different arrangement,
yeah.
changing the song up and it being just a phenomenal version of a song.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's... I mean, that's and if you like this kind of stuff that we're talking about now, if you've never listened to it, although it is sort of one of the first big podcasts and he's still putting them out to this day. And we actually mentioned him a couple weeks ago on one of the episodes that Patrick wasn't on, the episode with Brian Dunaway. I highly recommend you go check out Coverville, which Brian Ibbett has been doing for. He must be coming up on the 10th anniversary at this point. I think maybe he's had it. He's got like over 1,000 episodes. He does like 2 or 3 episodes a week. And that's what he does. He plays cover songs of, you know, all sorts of different material. He does really cool themes, you know, so he'll do like, you know, an all Beatles show where it'll be like, you know, 10 different Beatles songs covered by various people. And, or he'll do the reverse. He'll do like one artist covering a bunch of different people, or just sometimes just random stuff, sometimes just like a subject. But I've always enjoyed that show. And I've found a lot of cool artists that way just by listening to that. So that's a cool show to check out.
Yeah. Would you say that House of the Rising Sun is a heavily covered song? I feel like it is. I also feel like, I'm blanking on the other song. I just had it a second ago.
Well, there's a million covers of All Along the Watchtower.
That's the song I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Oh, yeah. That is an overcovered song, but there are some great versions of it.
Dave Matthews.
Well, that's the thing. I used to do like a series of posts for SF Signals way back in the day. I used to do things and I talked about All Along the Watchtower because there are some brilliant covers of that. The problem with that song is it can be a very easy song to play. So that's one of those songs when you're getting a band together or when you're doing a cover band, that's one where it's like, yeah, let's do All Along the Watchtower too. Cause you could get it. Cause if you listen to the Dylan version of it, it is just 3 chords and
right.
It is, you know, da, 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 da. And so you could just bash away at those 3 chords. Mm-hmm. It's the same progression for the verse and the chorus and it's great lyrics and you could just take solos over it for days. So like a lot of bar bands do it. Cause it's just like, you just, wail away on that progression and just trade solos. And so it was one of the songs that I kind of refused to do in a cover band, that and Brown Eyed Girl, because everybody wanted to always do Brown Eyed Girl too. But I can think of 3 great versions of All Along the Watchtower that are worth checking. Obviously, everyone knows the Hendrix version, which mm-hmm. That's not even one of the ones I'm thinking of. But the 3 that you got to check out are, as Patrick mentioned, the Dave Matthews Band,
which
cover.
They usually close their live shows with, which is why it's such an epic version.
Yeah, and it's a really different interpretation of it, and so that's a really great version. Michael Hedges, who's an artist that passed away maybe like 20 years ago now, he's an amazing guitar player, and he put out a lot of these. Acoustic instrumental album, like solo, where he did a lot of like the finger tapping on the acoustic. And if you YouTube Michael Hedges, you'll find some cool stuff. But he was a great singer too. And he did some albums where he had some singing as well. And he's got a live album where he did some covers. And I think he even did it on one of his studio albums. But he does an amazing version of All Along the Watchtower because he does, like, you know, he's one of these dudes that uses like the weird tunings. And he sounds just like, you know, a full band, but he's playing, you know, there's no looping or anything. It's just like, he's like, you know, tapping out one thing mm-hmm. and playing others. And he's just like really powerful. So that's a great version. That's Michael Hedges. I think there's a YouTube clip of him playing that. And then obviously the one that our fans probably know is the Battlestar Galactica version.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. I love that version of it. So those are 3 really cool versions of that song. Everybody else other than Hendrix, I can really... take or leave here on that song ever again. Yeah.
If he's listening, I would love Bear McCreary to do a version of Cashmere.
Oh yeah, that's like totally in his wheelhouse.
Nice.
Like,
so what's your pick this week, John?
Good question.
since we've been talking about mine for 20 minutes,
that's okay. That's fine. I'll pick. I'll pick the. I just finished reading the 2 Star Wars comics that are in trade paperback now. One is, I think, just called Star Wars. I just put it in my Goodreads. And that is set in between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. So that it's just Star Wars Volume 1, Skywalker Strikes. It's written by Jason Aaron. So that's one of those ones where it just takes like the first five or six issues of the series. Yeah, 1 through 6. And John Cassidy is the artist on it. Really cool. Very enjoyable. Has some good stuff in it. And the other one is Shattered Empire by Greg Rucka. And that takes place right after Return of the Jedi. And that's really cool. And what's interesting in that one is two of the characters in it. So it's mainly, you know, Luke and Han and Leia and Chewie and everybody. But there's two other characters in it who are the parents of Poe Dameron, who is going to be, you know, he's the X-Wing pilot that you see in all of the Star Wars trailers. So, you know, this is sort of that, you know, Disney, like, let's make everything canon. And, you know, I saw someone like writing a review of this comic who said like, yeah, it's cool, you know, because there's probably basically a part in it where Han turns to Poe Dameron and is like, I knew your parents. Like, there might be like a throwaway line like that. If there's even that, who knows? It probably won't even be that. But
I knew your parents. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or there may be nothing with that in it, but it's you know, those two characters are soldiers in the rebellion.
From what I understand, one of the important scenes in the new movie is when Han Solo finds a crystal skull.
Oh yes, I bet. You know, so one of the characters is a pilot. Another one is, you know, a ground soldier that was on the Endor attack, and it's cool though. And then you see them go on different missions. Like, you know, the one guy is in Han's like, you know, tactical team that runs missions, and the other is a pilot that, there's some cool things. They tie it all together nicely, but if you like reading the graphic novels, I took them out of the library. But they are available now. I think it's, graphic novels are kind of pricey. That's one of the reasons I take them out of it. Because for me, I'll read them in an afternoon, and I don't have a lot of space to store stuff, so I don't really want to hold on to it anyway. But it's worth it. I don't think it's overpriced. It's just, it's, you know, $18 or whatever it is, or maybe even more. It might be more like $20, $25 too for something that I'm going to read in an afternoon and probably never look at again. I'll just take it out of the library. Of course, there's a lot of holds on that stuff at the library, so you do have to wait a long time to get it, because I think the stuff came out like 3 months ago, and I put holds on it.
Even the older stuff. So someone told me that they started the Tales of the Jedi or the Knights of the Old Republic from Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. And they'd started that at the library, and they could only get the first two, and everything else is on hold.
Yeah.
So...
And in my, I don't know if this is in that area, but in my area, I can borrow from like 40 different libraries in the county. Like, they'll just send it. Yeah. And it's still a long wait for that stuff. It's kind of sad, or I don't know if it's sad, but it's, if I put a hold on a new novel, I'll get that like pretty quick. But like a comic, I don't take DVDs out of the library anymore. But when I did that you'd wait forever on. Books, you'll get it right away. Like, very rarely do you have to wait a long time for a book. It's kind of sad, but that's the state we're in.
So I know that people can't necessarily see the video right now because we couldn't get that figured out. But anyway, John, you know that the X-Files is coming back.
I do.
So I apologize. Are you done on your pick?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, so the X-Files is coming back to television here soon. We also found out that the Gilmore Girls are coming back on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
So there's lots of resurgence of shows, and I'm hoping that it's not just nostalgia, that they'll actually do something cool. The very famous poster from Mulder's office, you know, the I Want to Believe,
mm-hmm.
with the flying saucer on it, the blurry flying saucer. So that, you know, that would be in the, and it was kind of iconic, and it was always in the office. John records now in a room, and behind him is a painting or a picture of a lighthouse. However, I can tell that it's a lighthouse, but the actual structure of the lighthouse is a pale white on a pale gray background. So it, from my perspective, it just looks like a flying saucer hovering over a field. And I know that I know where John is recording. I know that the his in-laws are probably not into ancient aliens or flying saucers and stuff. But it's so funny to see this picture in the background of John, this picture of what appears to be a hovering flying saucer in his in-laws' house. It is just amusing the hell out of me.
Well, there you go.
I want to like talk to your in-laws and be like, "Do you believe? Do you?
They don't believe.
And they'll be like, "In what?"
Yeah, I never really watched the X-Files, but something that's interesting. This is one of those things where I end up spoiling things for myself because I get curious about actors and I end up IMDBing them and come across a spoiler that I don't. I didn't in this case, but I did find out something interesting about the X-Files that's coming back because I do watch Flash, mm-hmm. and Robbie Amell was on Flash as one half of Firestorm, Ronnie, and he was on the Tomorrow People as well, which I watched all that, which I enjoyed.
He's also the cousin of
Steven. I thought they were brothers. Are they cousins?
I thought they were cousins.
Maybe.
And it could be. Of Arrow.
Yeah. So Steven Amell and him are brothers. So when Flash started the season, like he wasn't on it. And you know, well, I don't want to get spoilers, but he's not on it right now. And I was like, well, that's weird because I don't remember them doing anything like that at the end of last season. So I sort of looked around. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he got another gig. And he's going to be on the new X-Files.
Right.
I guess he's going to be like another agent or something. I don't know how big the role is. But I'm like, well, yeah, I guess he would take that job. But what's kind of interesting is that I was kind of following it a little bit. And it seems like the door is open for him to come back on Flash. Like he has not been written off.
He's
missing right now.
And he's been replaced.
Yes, he's been. Yeah, his half of Fire. Sorry. We should have spoiled it. That's okay. Yeah, I don't know. But,
and he is cousins with Steven. I just looked it up.
Cool. That makes more sense because they don't look that much alike.
Right.
Okay, that makes more sense to me. But yeah, so he's missing right now on the show, and so if you know the Firestorm thing, it's like it's him and the doctor scientist guy that they kind of form up, and then they become. And I remember that from the
Firestorm.
Yeah, the Super Friends. I remember when he was a later period character on that show, but. They're sort of leaving it over because I guess in the comics they've had many people that have been part of Firestorm over the years. So I guess they're sort of playing with that and they're sort of leaving it open that he could come back and do that. And I saw on one of the nerd websites, they actually had a picture of him. They had a selfie of him and like the new guy. So he was like visiting the set.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So everything's cool. I think it was a scheduling thing for him where he wanted to do X-Files. And I think he's in a big movie coming up too with like some big actors. So he got like a couple of pretty good gigs, but I think he does want to keep doing that as well. So you might see him show up at some point again.
You know what movie Steven's going to be in?
I believe he's going to be in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming out.
Casey Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what to feel about that because, my son's been asking a lot about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. My son is obsessed with movie logos. So for if you have someone who's autistic in your household, they get very – or I shouldn't speak generally like that. At least my son and I taught autistic students before. They get very into certain little things.
Sure.
And so my son will just sit on, and this is a reward where we allow him to do it for 5 minutes because he would literally do this all day if we let him. So, you know, he'll go on YouTube and just watch, you know, the 20th Century Fox logo over and over. And it's shocking how many of those are on there, just of people combining, like, it's the 20th Century Fox logo and then it's the Paramount logo. And then people make versions of this in Blender that, you know, and he watches a million, so he loves all that. So he's been at, so he's sort of more interested in movies these days. He's like, can I watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? It's rated PG-13. And I'm like, well, when you're 13, you can watch it. He's like, is that a grown-up movie? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of, is it funny? I'm like, it may intend to be funny at points. I don't know if it's actually funny. And so we've been having a lot of conversations about the, you know, the recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, which by all account, the first one wasn't so great. I did not see it. It's up on Amazon Prime, and I kind of have no interest in watching it. But yeah, that's I saw something really funny that my wife and I crack up at, because sometimes I see these videos that my son watches on YouTube. I mean, Patrick, I'm talking, these things have like 200,000 views, and it's great. And,
you never know what's gonna appeal to people. Have you seen Breadface?
No.
So on Instagram, look up Breadface, and it's this girl sticking her face in various types of bread, mm-hmm. and she has a ridiculous amount of followers and people watching these videos.
Wow. The one thing I wanted to mention is my wife showed this to me, one of her, like, you know, autism mom groups on Facebook, and it's probably so true. And she was like, hey, you YouTube people that are really proud of like your million views, just know that, you know, most of those are from like one autistic child watching it like several thousand times. So don't feel so great about it.
And to bring it full circle back to Randy Newman, every time you see the 20th Century Fox logo and they play the music, Randy Newman gets a check.
Is that his dad write that?
His dad wrote that.
That's right. Yeah. Is it Alfred Newman?
Something. And he gets a check every time.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
It's a trip.
I bet.
I'm curious, John, and I know we're going a little bit long here. Have you watched Supergirl?
I haven't, because it's not on Hulu. Like, I'd have to buy it. So I just haven't gotten to it yet. Have you been enjoying it?
I have been, yes.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things about it. I'll get to it. I'll either buy it at the end of the season or wait and see if it comes on Netflix or what have you.
So do your best to avoid talking or reading anything on the internet, because they just did a massive thing on the show.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I do intend on getting to it eventually, but I have a bunch of shows that I'm watching now, so
They're supposedly already planning the Supergirl Flash crossover.
Yeah, I heard about that, because I guess the ratings haven't been quite as good as they'd like them to be.
It's one of those things where Supergirl's ratings would be a blockbuster on the CW.
Right.
It would be right up there with Flash and Arrow.
Yeah.
On CBS, it's not a blockbuster.
Yeah, it would be better for me. Yeah, it'd be better if it was just on the CW, and then it'd probably be even tighter.
But then people would start calling them like the DC Network or something, because they're going to have Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow. If they also had Supergirl, I don't know. Have you heard that Constantine might appear in?
He already appeared on Arrow.
He was on Arrow, but they're talking about he might also appear on one of the movies.
Oh, really?
Same guy or something.
That's interesting.
And I know that there's a Teen Titans show in development on like TBS or something.
Well, and there is another Justice League of
Justice League Dark.
Cartoon Network. Oh. There's another Cartoon Network Justice League show in development right now that I heard about. And I wonder. You know, we had Greg Weissman on the show a few months back, and he was not able to talk about something. when we said, like, hey, what are you working on now? He's like, I can't talk about it. So I'm wondering if it's some sort of Justice League show, and whether it's going to sort of take place in the universe that Young Justice was in. And is it going to be some of those characters, but maybe a few years on? And,
who knows?
Because it's on Cartoon Network. I don't even know if Weissman's working on it. That's complete speculation on my part.
Did you see that they're bringing back Samurai Jack?
I did see that, yeah. That's one of those ones that I haven't seen, and everyone tells me I should watch it.
You should.
Sure.
Great show.
All right, well, Lord, I was born a rambling man. That was a good rambly episode, I thought, but fun. But
I always preferred the other one from them. Maybe it was a different band. Patrick, Brain Work
an
now.
Allman Brothers?
I thought it was an Allman Brothers band. Yeah, Allman Brothers. Midnight Rider.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a better song, I think. Yeah. No, Ramble Man sounds real different because Dickie Betts is singing that one, and Greg Allman pretty much sang most of the other hits. So it's a different singer and not as soulful. I mean, Dickie Betts has got a good voice too, but it's not Greg Allman's voice. Midnight Rider's a much better song.
I gotta
song.
Run to keep mm-hmm. from hiding.
Yeah.
And I'm bound to keep on riding. Come on, John. Got yeah. one more silver dollar.
There's a great performance of that they did on Unplugged years ago on the MTV Unplugged show. That's a really cool like acoustic performance of that song.
I like the version that Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Noah did.
Mm.
Noah, I just love his voice. So, you know, you get him something where he really belts it out and it's awesome.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, that's enough rambling for one episode from the both of us. So hope you're enjoying these. And I hope you guys, if you're listening to this before the holidays, enjoy the holidays. Enjoy Star Wars. Hopefully we've enjoyed it and hopefully we're not crushingly disappointed by it. I hold out hope, though. I do hold out hope.
A new hope.
Yeah. In fact.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll talk to you.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?